relief, ease, refreshment, recreation, and blessed quiet. Some of us need to get really quiet. There's too much noise going on the inside. There are too many voices that are shouting on the inside. And to get into that place where, and you do, how do you do that? But one of the ways that you do that is by praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And when you pray in the Spirit, you get quiet down on the inside. You shut off the natural thinking and you begin to amplify the voice of the Spirit. I want the voice of the Spirit on the inside of me. I want His voice talking to me. I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, and a stranger's voice I will not follow. And to have that quiet on the inside, that blessing down on the inside working and being able to transfer information from heaven down inside of me so that the Lord can direct me and lead me and guide me in everything that I need to do. For my yoke is wholesome, it's useful, it's good, it's not harsh. It's not hard, it's not sharp, it's not pressing, but it is comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. He said, my burden is light and easy to be borne. You know, what we have to do is really take stock in ourselves and really look at ourselves and ask the question, am I really following the Spirit of God in all that I do? Because if I were following the Spirit of God in all that I would do, I would be experiencing this ease and relief and refreshing for our soul, for my soul. So often we embellish our lives. We add to it. We add things here and we add things there. And it's out of... don't want to get too deep into this one, but it's all out of a motivation. You have to examine your motivation. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing this to gain attention? Am I doing this for any other reason except to please the Lord? What am I doing? What am I doing in my life? All the clutter, all the stuff that's out there, what is it? There was a song that I was looking through yesterday because I've talked about this before, but it's a country song called I Need a Vacation. I don't know if anybody's heard that song, but I need a me and my husband, we need a wife whose greatest desire is to do laundry. The whole song is talking about just all that stuff that's piling up in life. And we can get into a place where we are operating in the Spirit to the degree that we are refreshed. We are in the rest. We are entering into the rest of God. I like what this Message translation says. It sounds like a commercial. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, Jesus said. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I like that. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Keep company with me and learn to live freely and lightly. Stress and pressure are real issues that individuals deal with. People deal with it. They're dealing with stress. They're dealing with pressure of life. Some have lives that are, and I wrote this down, overloaded, overwhelmed, overcrowded, and overtaxed. If that's you, don't raise your hand right now. We'll just keep ministering. But that people get to that place. I experience it. Terry experiences it. When we do that, we just have to sit down and just take stock of ourselves and look within ourselves and to the Lord and say, okay, what needs to change here? What needs to happen? And you have to tell the Lord, I will do anything and everything you tell me to do. Whatever it is that you tell me to do, I'll do it. If you need me to lay down this or to lay down that. And the understanding of the people being pulled in every direction by demands. Demands, schedules, calendars, family, children, school, church, job, finances, health, future, relationships, decisions, transitions. It's all out there. It's all out there. People are in desperate need of relief. And they try to do it with a vacation. They try to do it with sleep. But really, the ultimate rest is entering into Him, entering into His peace, entering into His rest. I was listening to Keith Moore preach about this many years ago, and he was talking about how he had really, his schedule had really been busy. And this was back when he was teaching at Rhema. And he was preaching on the road, and then he'd get back in time to do school all that week. And he preached just constantly at Rhema, many, many classes. And it got to a place where he came home on a weekend, and he actually had a Saturday. And he thought, well, I think I'll just lay down here and try to get some rest. And it wasn't that. And so what he had to do is he got his Bible and just started ingesting the Word. And that Word is strength to us. That Word will build strength to you and give you direction. And he had to do that because it wasn't the rest, the physical rest necessarily that was needed. It was filling yourself back up. There are so many opportunities to be depleted of spiritual strength. There's a drain that takes place. And if you're not replenishing that, then you're going to get to the place where you're completely drained out and empty, and there's nothing left, and you're running on fumes. And that's not the way God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be that way. And Terry and I, we in the work that we're doing here, both at the church and in the ministry, I have to be very, very selective about my life and how I spend my days and the things that I do. And sometimes I catch these places of blessed quiet in little quadrants. I have to do it, I have to section it in order. And I can tell when I'm somewhere and maybe I've got a 15-minute opening. What do? I just get with the Lord. I just fill myself back up. Especially when you have days that are going on and on and on, and there's no real time to stop. In the day-to-day activities that we have here, we have many meetings a day. There's a lot going on. There's a lot happening. And so often, my office is located up in the executive area, and down the hall from my office is Brother and Sister Copeland's office. Well, Brother Copeland is rarely in that office over there. He likes his hangar office down by the runway. So it's the only time really he uses it is during our board meetings and so forth. So in between meetings, what I'll do is I'll just go down there and I will sit and I'll get quiet. Because what can happen is you can get into a place where there's a momentum built, but it's a wrong momentum. You start going faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And oftentimes that's not the thing to do. You start making decisions kind of off the top of your head instead of coming out from your heart. So what I have to do is in the midst of a day that's going like that, I'll go back there and I'll just sit for a few minutes. And I'll go before the Lord. And like I did the last couple of weeks, I will read this scripture, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." And I'm like, okay, okay. And he says, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn about me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the will of God, to live in a place of the rest of God. So people are desperate. They're desperate for relief. Many years ago, Terry and I, we were shopping at Walmart, and I stopped at one of those CD displays. You know, the ones that have the little buttons that you can press, and it has all kinds of different, it's got 70s music, it's got classical music, it's got all that on there, and you can press the buttons and you can hear selections of them. And so I like to press buttons anyway, whether it's toys or, yes, I'm one of those that presses all the buttons on the toys in the store, and they all are doing their thing, all shouting, "Terry's, George, come on now." So I do that. I like to listen to all the different music things. And I was standing there is playing some of those, and I saw one, and it was called, the CD was called Soothing Sounds to Calm the Body and Mind. Soothing Sounds to Calm the Body and the Mind. So I pressed the button, and it was this, it was an ocean with waves just lapping on the shore. And there's piano music behind it. And you can hear the seagulls in the background. And then you hear trees with wind blowing through them. And all different kinds of I wrote it down here because I remember it was a bubbling stream, wind blowing through trees, birds singing on a warm summer afternoon. I didn't know if it was a summer afternoon, but it sounded like it. Waves lapping on the shore. And then this gentle piano music in the background. And I just stood there for a few minutes like, oh, that's really nice. I like that. So I went to look for the CD and it was gone. All the 70s were there. All the classical was there. All the hits of the 60s were there. Motown was there. But the only one that was missing off the rack was Soothing Sounds to Calm the Body and the Mind. And the Lord had me take note about that. And the fact that people, they're looking for anything to help them escape pressure. They're looking for whatever they can get rid of where stress is concerned. And one of the things the Lord wanted me to talk to you about here is that it is possible to live in this stressful world, stress-free. It's possible. I remember the first time I was CEO here, and that was in 1988, from 88 until 96. And I remember how stressful that job was. It was really, it nearly ate my lunch. And by the time I got through with it that time, I was done with it. Well, when it came back to me, the CEO position came back in 2017, I was a little bit concerned about it. I was like, I remember what that was like back then. And the Lord said, no, you're a lot older now. You're more mature. You know better. You've got about 30 years of the word under your belt. And you don't have to do the same thing that you did back then. And so we've been doing the job 2017, 2018. Now we're into 2019. I sleep at night. Doesn't matter what's going on. I sleep at night. There's a peace on the inside of me. There's a peace that passes all understanding that's working on the inside of me. And there are stressful things that happen. There are decisions that have to be made. There are things that have to be done. There's a lot of things around here. When the Lord gave Brother Copeland the word to get your house in order, we did not realize how much we'd be operating off of that word to get this house in order. But we're getting this house in order. And that's what we do. That's what we're anointed to do. But I'm telling you, I sleep at night. And even where the church is concerned, the things that things that have been pressing where the church is concerned, we just don't do that anymore. Years ago, Terry alluded to this in her class this morning, but years ago, we were finding that it seemed like every time there was a new church that was starting, we'd have a whole crowd of people that would leave to go to the new church. And being young in ministry and young in pastoring, I really took it and I really took it hard. It was very difficult during those days. And, you know, in those days, if I were down, Pastor Terry would encourage me. If she were down, I would encourage Pastor Terry. But what do you do when both of us are down? And we're struggling. So we were struggling with this. It just seemed like every conversation we would have would be somebody left. Who left now? Who left the church now? And what pastors do is they take it personally. It's personal. And the struggle with it and the fact that you pour into a person's life and then all of a sudden they're gone. Well, that was a struggle to us. So we were both dealing with it. That was the topic of conversation in our household. Who left now? And so both of us were just really struggling with it. So when we reach that point, sometimes what we'll do is we'll just go see Brother Copeland. He's available to us, so we might as well go over there. So we went over there one night and sat down and laid out the whole case before him about people leaving and things going on at the church. And he said several things that I'm still living off of to this day. I mean, I remember distinctly that day, like it was yesterday. And he was walking around the kitchen. He was making some tea. And so we were laying out the case as he was making his tea. And he said, "Oh, kids." And even under the anointing, that really helps. "Oh, kids." I'm nearly 66 and he still calls me a kid. "Where's kids?" He said, "Oh, kids." He said, "You just need to roll the care of that over on to the Lord." And boy, that word went off on the inside of me. You need to roll the care. Like something is on top of you. And you roll it off of you. A weight that's been sitting there. And you just roll the weight off of you. And I've heard him say this before. I've heard him minister that very same thing to other people before. But when he said it to me and to Pastor Terry, there was something about it that when he said that, he said, "Oh, kids, you just need to roll that over onto the Lord." It's like the Lord was saying to me, "Oh, kids, you need to roll that over onto me. You need to let me handle that." I like what Jeremy has preached one time. He's talked about how we say, I got it. Lord, I got it. I got this. And we should never say to the Lord, "We got this." We should be looking to him always for the help that we need. But we forget. We forget that that's available to us. I've told you my popcorn story before. When I was in a restaurant, I was picking up hamburgers for the family. And standing there waiting for the hamburgers, the girl behind the counter said, "Would you like some popcorn? We just made popcorns." I said, "Sure." And she gave me a bag with popcorn. So I had a big order. We had a lot of people at the house. My hands were full. And she came over. I was walking out the door. Popcorn, hamburgers, drinks. And she stood there at the door. She said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "No, I got this." And I knew on the inside something was wrong when I just said that. But I got this. I got this. She said, "Okay, can I get the door for you?" "No, I got this." Bang. I opened the door. And I went over to the car and the wind happened to be blowing. So I tried to get down to open the car door and then the car was locked. So I had to get into my pocket so I put all the stuff on the top of the car, the hamburgers, the drinks, and the popcorn. And as I went to open the car door, there was a gust of wind that came. "The gust of wind cometh to me. And it bloweth over my popcorneth." And I watched in slow motion popcorn flying through the air. And the Lord just stopped me and started talking to me. And he took me back to that girl where I said, "I got this." And he said, "That's your problem. You won't let anybody help you. You won't let anybody give any assistance to you, including me." Ooh. Wow. So when I'm offered help, when somebody says to me, "Can I help you?" It doesn't matter if I need help or not. I say yes. Because I had to get out of that mentality of, "I got it. I got this handled." No, you don't. You don't have it handled. If you're not working with the Lord on it, you don't have it handled. "I got this. It's under control." No, if you're not working with him, it's not under control. See, that's why Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me." Have you ever had one of your children growing up break a toy and they come and they've got it in pieces and you say to them, "Come to me and fix it"? Well, that's a simplistic way of looking at it, but that's what the Lord wants to do with all your stuff. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't even matter what kind of a mess you've made of things. He's saying, "Come to me. Come to me." The Holy Spirit has a way of untangling any mess that you've gotten yourself into. And he's got a way to be able to order out and line out whatever it is that needs to take place and whatever needs to happen. I go to the Holy Spirit constantly for help. Terry and I have been on a countdown to Israel. Do you know what a countdown to Israel is? It's a list. It's a list of everything that I need to do before I leave town on Wednesday. And we're gone for about 13 days. And we get home, and we'll be home 2 days, and we go to Sacramento for the victory campaign. So there's a countdown to Israel, and there's a countdown to Sacramento. And in this countdown to Israel, I have asked the Lord for his help. I've had to write things. I've had to do things for work. I've had to prepare for things. And the Lord has been so faithful. He showed me how to pack. He gave me an idea of how to pack for this trip. He's helping me. From whence comes your help? From the Lord. He's helping you. He's assisting you. If you'd open your heart to him and let him in there, he will show you how to do it. And I've been finding that there is a Holy Ghost acceleration that when you really need help on things and you got that long list to do, he'll go down that list with you. Check, 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 check. It's wonderful. It's wonderful the answers that he provides so quickly. It's like, Lord, I need to get this answer. Okay, here you go. That's what you need to do. And that's how it works. And that's how it's worked here at the ministry. I'm different than I was in 1988, 1989. I'm different. I handle things differently. I handle news differently. I've been standing on the scripture in the 112th Psalm. My heart is established. It is not moved. I am not moved. I'm not moved. Because he's more settled in me than he ever has been before. But the stronghold of the word has just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger on the inside of me. And I know that he's got an answer. I know he has an answer for everything. So going back to Brother Copeland, he said, oh, kids, you need to roll. You need to roll that over, that you need to roll the care over on the Lord. You need to roll the care of that over on the Lord. You need to roll the care of that over on the Lord. Turn to somebody right now and say, you need to roll the care of that over on the Lord. You need to roll the care of that over on the Lord. That was an interesting mumbling. I've never quite heard it like that. He took us over to 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Go over there really quick. I'll show you this. He took us to 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 in the Amplified Translation. let me get over there. First Peter 5, 6, and 7. It says in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And how do you humble yourself? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I wrote down here in the side of my Bible, casting all your pressure on him, casting all the stress on him. Casting all of your care over on him, for he cares for you. I was looking at the Amplified Translation. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting the whole of your care. Listen to this. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Casting all of that stress, all of that pressure, all of the demands, all of the questions, all of it over unto him. For he cares for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. This just jumped into my heart. In Hebrews 4, this is a scripture that I've gone to so many times. where he's concerned. And this is a reminder. As you do this, as you're doing what I'm talking to you, you'll enter into the place of rest. You'll enter that place of the peace of God. But in Hebrews chapter 4, it says in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need." What do you need help on? What is it? What's the list? What's going on? What's happening? What's taking place? There's your scripture right there. Let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find the grace to help us in time of need. The Amplified Translation, I just so appreciate this. It says, "Then let us fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's favor, that we may receive mercy for our failures." Mercy for our failures, mistakes that we've made, things that we've done wrong. There's mercy for our failures, and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help, well-timed help coming just when we need it. That's for you. That's for me. But we have to remind ourselves of this, because we get into a pace in our lives. And in that pace, you begin to have a momentum. If God is left out of the equation of it, you start running down that hill out of control. So you have to stop. And sometimes it feels like there's no place to stop. But that's why we come to church. We're here right now. We stop. Stop thinking about that thing. Stop thinking about those things. So you stop. And you go to a scripture like this. And you come fearlessly, confidently, and boldly. You can do that because you've been made the righteousness of God. Draw near to the throne of grace. The whole concept, come to me, draw near, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Sounds like he wants to get involved, doesn't it? Yeah. To the throne of grace and God's favor, that we might receive mercy for our failures. It does not matter what you've done. Mercy for your failures is available. Find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help. The appropriate help that you need. Well-timed help coming just when you need that. So as we were talking to Brother Copeland, and he was taking us through this scripture, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares for you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. Now, where the church was concerned, and the whole issue of people leaving, he said to me something very interesting. He said, God has not called you to build a big church. Really? No, but then he added this. He has called you to enter the rest. The only thing that God has called you to do is to enter the rest. The only thing that God has called you to do is to enter the rest. Within the rest is everything that you are needing to do. But you do it in the rest. You do it in the rest. You can face something and you have a choice, a big choice. You can panic, or you can be in peace. You can, I like what Brother Copeland says, you can go on low, slow. When things begin to fly around you, things begin to happen. So-and-so has been taken to the hospital, and the everything tenses up. You go on red alert. And that's the time to go on low, slow. I had somebody call me the other day, serious situation. And I really, at first, I didn't know what was going on. They're crying and talking as loud as they can. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Slow down. Let's just slow the whole thing down. Because you can get caught up in a situation like that, and you just, it's like stepping onto a conveyor belt. You just You just fly with it. And I practice living on low slow. I do that sometimes at the airport. If I'm at the airport, you know, people are nearly running to get to their gate or to get to someplace. And there's a pace there at the airport that is so ferocious because everybody's running to get somewhere. And if I get there and I'm on time and I have extra time, I look like I'm going in slow motion. Because I'll just walk along like this. And everybody, it's like one of those things that you see in a film where people are running, and there's one guy there that's just going really slow. And so that's what we have to do in the midst of those kinds of things is enter the rest of God. And that's what Brother Copeland said to us. He said, you're not called to build a big church. You're called to enter the rest. I figure a big church will come out of that, but I'm not pursuing that. I'm pursuing the rest of God. And in His rest, in the place of His rest, there is direction. There's correction. There is inspiration. There's everything that's needful in that place of rest to be able to get the answers, the questions answered that you need to have answered. So He said that to us. The only thing that God has called you to do is to enter the rest. So I was meditating on that. And a few days later, somebody left the church and that started coming on me again. And the Lord really helped me. And He gave me a gift. He gave me a gift. He said something to me. I'm going to put it on the screen, leave it there for a little bit so that you can write it down. But He blessed me with this tremendous gift when He told me to say this: I refuse the pressure and stress. I choose instead to enter the rest. Are you writing that down? Is that going to go up on your refrigerator? I refuse the pressure and stress. I choose instead to enter the rest. Say it with me. I refuse the pressure and stress. I choose instead to enter the rest. I refuse the pressure and stress. I choose instead to enter the rest. One more time. I refuse the pressure and stress. I choose instead to enter the rest. Boy, that's helped me. That's helped me, especially right in the midst of something. I'll just stop and I say, I refuse the pressure and stress. I refuse it. The stress and this pressure in this thing is not of God. His peace that passes all understanding is His will. So I refuse that pressure and stress. But I choose instead to enter the rest. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's read just a little bit of that. Hebrews 3. It says in 3:19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's quite a statement there. The children of Israel were not able to enter in to the promised land because of unbelief. Well, that works for us too. You cannot enter in to the greatness of God because of unbelief. Verse chapter 4. Let us fear therefore lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the word that you're hearing today, you need to mix this with faith in order to enter into the rest. For we have believed, we which have believed do enter the rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. And He limited a certain day saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, not harden your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works as God did his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us enter into the rest. Labor to enter into the rest of God. Endeavor. And that's probably a better word. Endeavor to enter the rest of God. Do what it takes to enter that place of the rest of God. You enter into the rest, and the things that are around you that are causing the stress and the pressure, that stuff has to back away. It cannot stand and remain in a person who's standing in the rest of God. It can't. And I'll just say to you today that I believe that it is the will of God that we live a stress-free, pressure-free life. In the same way that we live a fearless life. Fear-free, faithful. To come to a place where you have zero tolerance level for fear, you can have zero tolerance level for stress and pressure. And you look at all the stuff that's going on in our country right now and things that are being voted in Congress and things that are ramping up. That is not our cue to get under pressure. That is our cue to be in faith and enter the rest. And to pray and to believe God and see the thing turn around. We know there's an awakening that's upon us. And there are just some people who have not awakened yet. That's all we're seeing is a bunch of people that have not awakened to God yet. So they'll wake up. They'll wake up. They'll get there. But that is not our cue to get under pressure. That is our cue to walk in the rest of God and the wisdom of God. Because that's where you find the wisdom of God is in that presence of God. Now, Hebrews 4:4 in the Amplified, it said, we just read it, for in a certain place, he has said this about the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And the Lord showed me something about that. Track with me on this, if you will. You don't have to turn to Genesis, but just track with me on it. Genesis 1:5 says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis 1:8, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Genesis 1:13, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Genesis 1:19, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Genesis 1:23, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Genesis 1:31, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 2:1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he made. And God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it because that in it, he had rested from all his work, which God created and he made. Take note of this. There is no mention of the evening of the seventh day. And the Lord said to me one day, he said, the sun never set on the day of rest. We are still living in the blessing of the seventh day. We're here. Sun never went down. You know what? When the sun goes down, that means that's the end. That's done. Day is done. We go to bed. We go to sleep and sun comes up the next morning. We wake up and we do what we do. But in this case, the sun never set on the day of rest. Let me describe it to you like this. Let's say we all took a vacation to Hawaii. And you go to Hawaii. What a beautiful place it is. A beautiful place. And what would it be like if the sun never set? It's always that perpetual day. You know, you go over there and maybe you'll go for 5 days, maybe 6 days, 7 days. There's an end coming. There's a slot that's coming. Pastor Terry and I are going to Hawaii this year. We are going to Hawaii. We're going to take a vacation together and go to Hawaii. And but there's going to be a day where the sun is setting. We have to go home. Which there's nothing wrong with coming home to you. We love coming home to you. But just the fact that the two of us will be in Hawaii together isn't, I mean, that's really special. And so the sun will go down, and then the darkness shall come, and we'll be on a plane coming home. The sun doesn't set in heaven, does it? It doesn't. Well, what the Lord showed me was, from Scripture itself, there was an end to each one of those days, except the seventh day. So you and I are living in day seven, the day of rest. That's where we live. The sun never sets on the day of rest. As you enter into it, it's a perpetual rest. It's living in a place of the perpetual rest. You know, and as we talk about this again, I completely understand. I understand what people deal with, what people go through, things that we've been through. We all have families. We all have jobs and things that we're doing. Some of you still have little kids. Why am I smiling? I don't know why I'm smiling. I just so enjoy, let me just say this. I just so enjoy watching my kids discipline their kids. It's a blast. It really is. I've been told of that before. I've been told that that day would come. But it's pretty funny to see. I won't go any further. But I understand. Parents, you can be stress-free where your children are concerned. I don't care how old they are. Whether they're 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, and beyond. But you can be in such a place of peace and at rest no matter what's going on in their lives, no matter what is happening. That is, again, that is not your cue to take the care. That's not your cue to allow that load to come on you. You go to the Lord. You talk to Him. You work that out with Him. He's got help. And He's got people out there who will help. And to see a turnaround in your child's life that needs to be turned around. But that is not your care to take. That is not your anxiety to take. Let me finish it up with this. I have no idea what time it is. It's because I don't have a clock. And I don't get to preach to you for 2 weeks. Are you with me? Are we okay? Let me go back for a moment to this Matthew 11, 28, 30. Jesus said, come to me. And I want the musicians, come to me. So, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm gentle, meek, humble, lowly in heart, and you'll find rest and relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, and good, and it's not harsh or hard or sharp or pressing, but it's comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. And just this morning, early this morning, I kind of rewrote my little phrase that the Lord gave me. He gave me a little, kind of an addition to it. I refuse the pressure and stress. I choose instead to enter His rest. I choose instead to enter His rest. As we begin to wrap this up, the stress... We don't have time to get into that, but I'll just say this too. Stress affects the physical body. We've read about it. We've seen about it. And it would do you well. It would do you well to go back and listen to this message again. Just feed it. Allow it. Allow it to settle down on the inside of you. Because stress, allowing that stress and pressure to come in, will have a direct effect on the body. And I found a scripture. These are one of my favorite scriptures. Let me just give this to you. Proverbs 14:30 in the Amplified says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and the health of the body. So this really is a healing message today. The New Living Translation says, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. It didn't say lazy. It says relaxed. A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. It's like in a relationship with a husband and wife. And gentlemen, you need to know when to shut up. if you're in an argument, and an argument can escalate. It can go from level one and it can escalate to a level two, then to a level three. And each one is going higher and higher and higher. And so what would happen if you just stopped talking? Well, it might go a little bit higher, but then it starts to come back down again. So to I don't know why I just said all that. That was pretty interesting. So if you're having an argument, just shut up. That's my deep theology. Yeah. A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Relaxed attitude comes just from meditating on the Lord and how good He is. He'll fix it. He'll help it. He'll take care of it. Psalm 61:2, when my heart is... You better start playing because I've got to start stopping. Psalm 61:2, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Psalm 61:2, that's one of the scriptures you should be meditating on. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I do, I just have one more scripture, then I'm going to close this book. Psalm 23:2-3. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Where it says there, he leads me beside the still waters, the Hebrew is the waters of quietness. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands to the Lord right now? Can we give Him glory and honor and thanksgiving? Say this after me. Heavenly Father, I refuse the pressure and the stress. I choose instead to enter your rest. There is a rest that is available to me. I receive it. I walk in it. I roll the care of every situation, every challenge, every question over onto you. For you care for me. I receive now direction from the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can untangle any mess and bring it back into line. I am stress-free, pressure-free. Things may be going on around me, but I have peace on the inside. The peace that passes all understanding. Now let's lift our hands and glorify the Lord. David, have we got a song that we can sing?